Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another Dorky Nuts show. It's the 21st of April, and you know, we got some baseball action going on in the last few weeks. And joining me today, of course, is the amazing co-host, Cornay. Cornay, what's up? What's going on?
Doing well. Not very happy with yesterday's loss, but looking forward to the next two games because I think we have a good shot and to win a couple and win the series against the Cubs. So looking forward to us beating those Cubbies. What about you?
Yeah. That was pretty brutal yesterday. I thought that they were going to be able to do something with the bases loaded and then Lindor, you know, batting with two outs. I thought that was the moment for Lindor to break out of his slump. But, you know, they couldn't. And, you know, today's episode, we're going to be talking about BABIP. So, well, I can probably get into why we shouldn't freak out about Lindor yet. What do you think?
Just explain what BABIP is, and then you can mention how to use it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I didn't have a question prepared for you today before we start our show. Do you have anything you...
Phew, putting me on the spot.
Well, yeah, you know, improv a little bit.
Maybe our favorite beverage.
Oh, I like that. Alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Obviously alcoholic.
Well, I am a big... I love beer. I'm a craft beer enthusiast, so I love it all. I'm mostly into like the hoppy stuff, like IPAs, India Pale Ales. I don't know if you have those out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but craft beers is my favorite. What about you?
Well, I'm more of a darker beer type, so the stouts and the porters, the chocolate, the toffee, the roast. I love those.
Yeah, those are good.
That's my favorite. And I also really like a pretty strong flavored red wine at the time. It depends on the moment, with a nice little block of cheese with it, you know.
You're making me hungry. Yeah, I love that. Now you got to pair it up with some cheese. And, you know, like you said, depends on the season, like, or the mood. Like if it's a hot sunny day and it's the middle of summer, I don't want to drink an IPA. I feel like I'm gonna get dehydrated, so I like to drink like sour beers that have a little tart to them, a little refresh.
Yeah, the stouts isn't really for the summer as well.
No, nice cold, when you're cold and you're
exactly when it's winter or fall. Fall. Then the stouts are the best. So we're now heading into the time where even a pilsner is pretty good in the summer.
Yeah, pilsner is easy to go to, and you know, it's refreshing. It's not too, like, it's not gonna really get you too drunk unless you drink a lot of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great stuff. All right, well, let's talk about today's dorky subject. We're going to talk about BABIP, and I'll let you explain what BABIP is.
Yeah, so I just did some research and found a nice explanation via MLB, which I think, you know, nails it. So BABIP measures a player's batting average exclusively on balls hit into the field of play, removing outcomes not affected by the opposing defense, namely home runs and strikeouts. For example, if a hitter goes 2-for-5 with a home run and a strikeout, he would have a 333 BABIP. He's 1-for-3 on balls he put in play. It's good to mention that a league average BABIP is typically around 300, and that skill can also play a role in BABIP, as some pitchers are adept at generating weak contact, while some hitters excel at producing hard hit balls. For example, Clayton Kershaw finished the 2019 season with a lifetime 270 BABIP allowed, while Mike Trout ended the campaign with a career 348 BABIP.
Yeah, who's the first name? I couldn't hear it too clear.
Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is probably one of the, maybe, I think he's the best pitcher of this generation. If you look back at all those years in front of it, I mean, Jake.
Right. He's been doing it longer than Jake has.
Exactly. Longer than Jake does, exactly. So that's a short short explanation of what Babbitt pays. And I was wondering what you if you have some examples with the Mets.
Yeah, definitely. So you always hear me talking about Babbitt this, Babbitt that. Babbitt is my favorite stat. Because I feel like it can really tell when a player is lucky or unlucky, right? And you know what BABIP means is batting. What it's short for is abbreviated. I mean, right? The acronym is batting average on ball in play. Just like you explained, you know, very good. What it means. So I want to talk about 2020 Michael Conforto, right? Because everybody saw what he did in 2020. He was amazing. It was a short sample, of course, but in that small size, we saw that he was performing ridiculous, right? He finished the season with a 322 batting average, which is, you know, for Michael Conforto, that's pretty high considering he's about, you know, the 260s, right? If you average out his batting average, 258, that's also including this year where he's having a 184 batting average. But 2020, he finished the season with the 412 batting average. Now, you already explained that the league average is 300, right? So just put that into perspective of how high that number is, right? We're saying that a lot of the balls were you know, in play. Defenders were probably missing them, or he was going opposite field, you know, which helped to account why the defense was not there and balls were falling into play. So all this is examples as to why Conforto had a great career. And I've been wary, you know, because a lot of people were talking about we need to extend Conforto. He's going to have, you know, he's a monster. Look what he did last year. And I'm like, whoa, slow down a little bit. You know, like a lot of it has to do with his extremely high BABIP. So his career BABIP has been, you know, around 304, which is normal, right? I mean, 304 is just not that far from three. So we know that there's definitely a lot of luck there in play. Another example I'm going to give is 2021 Francisco Lindor, because oh my God, what is going on with Lindor? Did the Mets make a mistake by signing Lindor into this monster extension? Is he going to be another Jason Bay? What's going on here? I wouldn't panic too much with Lindor. And right now, his BABIP is a 179. That's extremely low. Wouldn't you say so, Corne?
Yeah, that's extremely low.
So his average is, you know, the 296, you know, so he's also like a league average BABIP guy. Let's wait till, and we've seen it, right? We've seen it where he's getting these hard hit balls that are just getting like caught, and the defenders are just in the right place and they're just like stopping him from, like, you know, getting his base hits. And he hasn't been like hitting with too much power either. So, you know, and it's kind of hard, you know, like with the schedule, we have a couple of days off because of the inclement weather. And then they play for 2 days and then they're off for their scheduled day. And it's like, how can he get going when you know, he has this really low BABIP? He's having bad luck and he's not hitting every day. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. I think it's way too early to panic about Lindor. And his BABIP is a good way to show why there's no need to panic right now. And I think the point you make with all the off days, the start and stops, the then all of a sudden you play two games and then, oh, then you are two games off or
double
three
header.
double header. Then it's just been so it has been odd, and I haven't really seen it before with the Mets in my fandom career, so to speak. And I mean there's a reason this lineup is pretty good if you look at it on paper, and we are last in runs per game. So I mean it has to be a big impact more on the hitters than the pitchers, because the pitchers, you know, they know how to, you know, pitch him once every fifth day already. So they aren't really bothered by an extra day of rest or anything like that. So yeah. The hitters, we all know, especially if you are in a slump, we all know that you need at bats when hitters are in a slump. And I mean, this team, there are a lot of hitters in our lineup who are slumping right now. And if you mention this, I mean, rightfully so, right?
Right. Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about is pitching, you know, because BABIP is not just only for hitters. It's, you know, how the pitcher, like you said, you know, if they generate a lot of, you know, soft contact, then they'll probably get a high BABIP, right? But if they give up, you know, if they make a lot of hard contact, right, they probably give up a lot of home runs, and it seems like their BABIP is really low. That doesn't mean they're a great pitcher. That means they're probably throwing a lot of meatballs. Because home runs are taken away from the BABIP, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So I was just looking right now at the BABIP for Marcus Stroman. Interesting enough, it's at 175 for this year.
Well, you say he has a 0.90 ERA with not a lot of strikeouts. So what did you say? 179 BABIP against?
Yeah, yeah, he has 179, 175. Yeah, so
all right. So I mean, we can all expect that Stroman won't keep his 0.90 ERA. So that his BABIP against is low is partly, you know, stuff. We know that he gets the ball in play and he feasts on getting the balls in play. So if he does that, he's actually doing it pretty well. So I think his career BABIP is fairly low.
He's got a 305 league average BABIP. So
that's surprisingly high in my opinion. But
yeah, oh, well. I was expecting it to be low too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like 275 or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the new Stroman. It wasn't the Stroman we saw with a higher strikeout rate in 2019 when he came to the Mets. But right. Yeah, it obviously won't sustain to a 0.90 ERA. I mean, if you have that dream.
Well, keep in mind, Corne, that this is a lot of this has to do with the fielders around Stroman, right? So if guys are not getting the ball, there's, you know, the defense starts to get shoddy, then his BABIP will go higher.
Yeah, definitely. I think I think he has a pretty solid defense behind him. I mean, Lindor at short is a major difference.
Yeah, and Rojas has been doing a good job with, like, putting defenders in for Stroman. And, you know, I think, with the exception of yesterday, J.D. Davis started and he made two errors. Yeah. But that was Stroman. That was Walker, right? So,
yeah, that was Walker, yeah.
Yeah, and then DeGroms, in case anybody is curious, because he's the greatest. His BABIP right this season is 281. So that's, you know, that's expected for me, I think. That's below the average, league average. His career is at 290. So
yeah, I mean that shows how great he is with the strikeouts right now. I mean, that's the main difference, that he's apparently is striking out a lot of lot more guys right now. I mean, 0.41 is his ERA right now, if I remember correct, 0.45.
His ERA, yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It's 45. Yep, 0.45.
If he's capable of, you know, it shows that it's not really that much, you know, luck involved with the Grom. Right. So, yeah, maybe he's able to have a truly dominant season, like, you know, Gibson. Maybe, who knows?
They had to lower the mound again, you know, for DeGrom.
They're going to put a pitching rubber a couple of feet back, like they are trying in the Atlantic League right now.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't come up to the majors. I mean, why do you deaden the baseballs and then you say, oh, well, the offense isn't good, so let's do something about the pitching? It's like, come on, stop playing so much.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's it shows that it's like the results so far. Granted, it's still cold out in a lot of these ballparks, but there's humidors also added in the ballparks in the last few years. So there's definitely a lot of manipulating with the offense. And then now you want to, I don't know.
It's odd. They should have just stayed with it. I mean, fans like home runs. I'm a fan and I like home runs. I like looking at, you know, the crushed baseballs, but also like strikeouts. I mean, a pitcher who gets a strikeout on a nasty slider. I mean, I like that. I like
how changeup, right?
Hmm?
Or a nasty changeup.
Yeah. Yeah, I love changeups, you know that.
So before we move forward, I just want to say, like, so if a pitcher has a very high BABIP, if you look at their I like to use Fangraphs for this information, by the way. Baseball Savant is my favorite, but I feel like it's much easier to find BABIPs on Fangraphs, and I like to compare it with their XFIP and all that stuff, which we'll probably talk later more about the XFIP. So if a pitcher has like a really high BABIP, then it can result, if they're having a bad start, you know, they're having a hard stretch, but during that stretch, their BABIP is like around above 400. And that's just, you know, bad luck there. Either they have really bad defense behind them. So I wouldn't panic too much.
No, definitely. I mean, that's why BABIP is an important stat.
Yeah. BABIP, to me, it kind of puts a gauge on, okay, this is the normal, and just how unnormal the player is performing right now, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, and it's also good. It's also good that you mentioned career norms, because that also shows a little bit of what a player is capable of in recent years. So, I mean, that's those two. You know, look at his career and look at what he's doing now. I think. And that's mostly about the same range. It should be about the same range.
Yeah. So I think I'm BABIP'd out for this. You want to talk some baseball?
Yeah, let's talk some Mets.
Yeah. I'll let you go ahead so I can take a little break. I've been talking up a storm.
Well, let's talk about one thing that came to mind is let's talk about Taiwan Walker's start. Yesterday, okay. Because that was a bit of a shocker to me after his first couple of starts. That is, you know, his walks, six walks in, what was it again, 4 2/3 innings?
Yeah, and they were like in one inning, he just gave up a lot of them.
Yeah, that was the fifth, right? There where he kept walking and walking in runs.
That's how we lost, yeah, because he...
Yeah.
But Cornet, it was freezing out there. How can you get a grip on the ball? I mean, Arrieta seemed to be doing a good job at it, but not everybody can handle the ball the same in the weather. It's really cold, I think.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, it's part of April baseball, right? We have seen it more often in April. And we also, honestly, we can see it in October when we are there. And then, I mean, then you want to be at your best.
Well, I'm referring to just what I saw his control, you know, like he couldn't find the strike zone. And also the umpire was, I haven't looked at his scorecard, but he seemed like he was really bad with calling that inside on the left-handed hitters.
Yeah, I've looked a little bit on the MLB game day type page. And I mean, on those, they didn't look that as they were called that bad, because I didn't watch the whole game this morning. I didn't really have the time for it. So okay. I watched the recap. So I saw that Walker was pretty upset with the umpire. So I looked at MLB site, and I didn't really notice if it was that bad. But yeah, I haven't seen the umpire scorecard as well. So I hope to share it quickly on Mets Junkies, because that would be interesting if they see it as that Walker, you know, got the worst of it.
Yeah, I mean, just watching that game was kind of frustrating for me. So, I mean, Rojas and Walker both got kicked out because of this umpire. But he seemed like he couldn't find the zone, man. And I just think it was because it was really cold.
Yeah, it could be. And I think his, you know, his emotions also maybe got a little bit of the best of him.
Yeah.
And that I mean, if you struggle, you struggle. And it was just a bad game for him. And we know, luckily, it was just 3 runs. And the bullpen did a great job after Walker.
Yep.
But yeah, the offense still, I mean, you should score more than 3 runs against Arrieta and the Cubs, in my opinion. And in the ninth, they didn't come true. Power hasn't been there, so that's. I mean, it will come. This lineup is too good to not have a lot of power in the lineup. But one thing, when we are now talking about the game, what were your thoughts that Louis was more vocal against the umpire in the game?
Well, to see him like that, yeah, we haven't seen that from him before. He seems like a really chill guy. I think if, you know, Rojas is getting that heated, then one, he's, you know, he's looking out for his guy, and two, he just thinks that the umpire was doing a really bad job and he was letting him know, you know. What do you think?
Yeah, honestly, I always like, you know, managers at a certain point stand up for your players. And Walker was clearly upset. So at that point, as a manager, maybe you have a feeling that Walker isn't correct on being upset, so to speak. But right. still, I think then you have to defend your players, even if you think that he isn't correct. Then still, it's good for the players to see that you protect them as a manager. So I really liked Louis to go out there and get a little bit heated, honestly.
Yeah, it's good for the morale of the players. They trust them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have something you want to mention?
Well, I got, you know, as far as Mets baseball, because we haven't had so much of it. Not really. I mean, I'm not concerned with, you know, the loss. They just got to keep winning series. Can't win them all, right? So
can't win them all. We have maybe we can do a little bit of a prediction for the next 2 games and then the series against the Nationals.
How we're gonna do against them?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll let you get started because I can get an idea of.
Tonight we have the matchup of David Peterson against Zach Davies.
Yeah,
Zach Davies hasn't been great, and Peterson is coming off a pretty good start. So I give the edge to the Mets for that reason. And at some point, the bats just have to, you know, have to wake up. I mean, this lineup is just too good to be 30th last in the majors in run scores. So we have a little bit of a positive vibes. Thursday, it's Lucchesi versus Trevor Williams. And I think that's it about a tie. I mean, Lucchesi wasn't great in his first start. He is having a tough year with all the, you know, the then he has to start, then he doesn't have to start, and he has to be in a bullpen. But maybe that will become his role when Carrasco comes back anyway. So it's good for him to, you know, to just do make a great start and show that he can be in that role for the Mets. So I'm going to predict that the Mets win the series 2-1 and get the Cubs the next two games. What about you?
Yeah, I think Arrieta so far has been their best, pitcher. So he's off to a really great start. He seems to be a little bit more craftier than he's been, than last year. But, he bested the Mets, I think. The Met and the bats, I think they're gonna adjust, right? Like you said, Davies and who's pitching on the 22nd again?
Williams, Trevor Williams.
Right. Both those guys are they're not really that good, career-wise. They do have their surprising good games, but I think the Mets can beat them. I agree with you. We'll win the series.
And what about this weekend?
Now, this weekend, I know DeGrom wants to go. He wanted to push his start so he can go Friday against the Nationals. So I we're gonna win Friday, hopefully, for
All right.
DeGrom. We need to, right? We got to win for him.
We broke the spell.
I hope so. And I'm
Yes.
not sure
It's
who's
the
the problem.
Grom, Stroman, Walker
And
in
for the
that
Nationals.
order. Yeah, I was looking at, I saw a tweet with their probable pitchers. I know Corbin is starting on Sunday.
Oh, he's horrible this year.
He's
Ross got
horrible.
lit up. I think Ross is in the series.
Yeah, Ross is on Saturday against Stroman. And Eric Fetty is against the Grom.
I'm gonna say we'll win 2 out of 3. I'm just.
And they miss Juan Soto.
Yeah, they're missing Juan Soto. That's true, but still,
That's pretty big.
to me it depends on the momentum that the bats have moving forward. If the bats are still dead, 2 out of 3. If the bats are hot, we're gonna sweep. But then we get 2 days off next week.
Already again? Oh,
Yeah,
damn.
on the 26th, Monday we're off. Then we have a 2-game series against the Red Sox, and then we're off on the 29th.
Oh, cool.
So we're just gonna. So it's like this schedule is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we have at least we have now six games in a row. So
Hopefully, jinx.
you might get a little bit of momentum right there. So I mean, yeah, we have to do with what we do, but I hope the Bats can come alive against two, I mean, not great pitchers in Davies and Trevor Williams, and then they follow it up against three guys from the Nationals who, I mean, at this point the probable pitchers, I mean, they all should be in favor, some slight and some a little bit, you know, heavier. They are all in favor of the Mets, so they could get on a nice roll and, like you mentioned, maybe win 4 out of the next 5. I mean, that should be possible, right?
I think the Cubs and the Nationals are both weak teams. We need to, the whole thing as a contender, you got to take advantage of the weaker teams. If you don't sweep, just win the series, and that'll get them through. They got the pitching. The bullpen has been looking a lot better than last year. I guess they're really well rested since they're off like every day.
And by the way, you know, just sorry to cut you off, but
Go
one
ahead.
guy who has really looked pretty good this year in very limited innings and time is Robert Gsellman.
Yep, I knew we were gonna go there. I was waiting for it,
Yeah,
actually.
he's been very good, and I mean, I wasn't expecting that. credit comes for credit due, or how do you guys say that? But he deserves credit. He's been pretty good.
So one thing I loved about last night game, I don't think you said you haven't seen it, but when Gazelman came in with the bases loaded and got the guy out, I think it was a strikeout, if I'm not mistaken. He started away. He was skipping away, like jumping around, and just hopping the whole time, probably to stay warm. But it was just – it was fun to see Gazelman, you know, be dominant and then kind of like just bounce slowly away to the dugout.
Yeah, so. I haven't seen it, so I should rewatch that. But, you know – I think the guy has been here for, I mean, since 2016 when he came up. And after that, he has been iffy after 2016. So, yeah. I mean, he should be thrilled to get big. It was a big out he got in that fifth inning. I mean, he kept the Mets in the game. I mean, the Mets eventually didn't win. But if they were able to pull it out, that was a major out he got.
Yeah, definitely. So here's my take, Corne, on their offense, right? This is what's going to happen. Right now, they're dead, right? But you have guys like Nimmo who's hitting, Dominic Smith who's doing, you know, pretty good. It's going to be a moment where all these bats are going to get hot, right? And there's going to be like an offensive juggernaut. And that's what I'm waiting forward to see. But there's going to be moments where they're going to be cold, but if you like what's going on right now, if you have one or two guys that are doing great, you're going to win games because you can't always have them hot at all times.
Yeah, but it's also it's always a little bit of a you know, up and down. We have two hitters who are carrying us right now, and I mean, they will also get a little bit into a slump. And then it's time for the others to put us on their shoulders.
So that's what I'm seeing right now. The offense hasn't been great, but we got to give credit to where credit is due to the guys like Nimmo, right, and Dom Smith who have been, and Alonso, even though he hasn't shown much power, he has gotten some hits. It's just the left on base numbers are ridiculous for the cleanup guy, for the 3-4 guy. If I was Rojas, I would shake things up a little bit.
I'm always worried with Pete that he puts too much pressure on himself, and that shows in the runners in scoring position numbers. He just needs to, you know, that lineup is so good. I mean, obviously, Pete is great, and he can be great. But if he can get the job done in an at bat, then you have who's hitting behind him, Conforto behind him, who's pretty good.
Or McNeil. It's a fair deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are good hitters. I mean, you don't have to do it all yourself. But he strikes out a lot when, at least in my assumption, maybe I'm wrong if I haven't really looked at the stats that much, but I have a feeling that when the big hit is needed, he puts too much pressure on himself. And he has, on the other hand, he has had some big hits, and I mean that's great. Pete will be fine. Lindor will be fine. Conforto will be fine. We will, like you mentioned, we will have a lineup. When, I mean, in 2 weeks, maybe we don't even talk about this. And we are happy that the lineup is beating up other pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, they just need to keep winning series. That's all. Find a way, if the bats are cold, scrap a few runs and, you know, let the bullpen do its thing.
Yeah, like the 2-1 win we had in Colorado. I mean, yeah. Score that's two crazy. Runs and win in Colorado. That's pretty ridiculous.
It was anticlimactic. Hey, I was expecting like 50 runs, you know, one game.
Yeah, you mentioned last week that the offense would get going in Coors Field. Well, it didn't really happen, Dale.
Yeah, it's that BABIP. We're going full circle.
Yeah, that's a good way to wrap it up.
All right. Well, I have nothing else to say other than let's go Mets. What do you got, Corny?
Yeah, let's go Mets. Keep the faith, everybody. Don't get too down with a loss, because we will lose a lot more this year. We will at least lose 60 games in the season. So,
man,
yeah.
See, I was hoping we'd only lose like 10 games.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, though.
All right. That's always a pleasure.
You haven't looked really good at the stats if you expected just 10 losses in a year.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, that's all I got.
Yeah, it's all I got, too.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, all.
All right, bye.